Okay, Parsha Vayeshev. We're going to connect the Parsha once again to the story of Esther, to the first pasuk of Esther, because that's what we're in the middle of doing. And it says like this. So the beginning of Parsha Vayeshev, we begin that Yosef had a couple of dreams, and the result was animosity felt toward Yosef. And the brothers, Vayir Achiv, Pasuk Dalad, Ki Oysa of Aviyim, first they saw that Yaakov liked him a lot, they already didn't like him. They hate him. For Yachu, Dabru Lashon, they couldn't speak nice to him. Pasuk Hey, for Yachlam Yosef Chaloyim. And then he repeats the dream to them. Right. What's their response? For Yomer LaAchiv, the brothers told him, HaMolech Timlech Aleinu, Im Moshal Timshal Banu. Which means, what's the difference between the double phrasing? What's the difference between HaMolech Timlech and Moshal Timshal? So the Vilna Gaon asked this question. We don't believe in Judaism in synonyms, whatever that word is, right? We don't believe in two words being the same exact thing. I mean, the whole Malbim is on this, but the other Rishonim will talk about it. Each word that might sound similar to another word, it can't be exactly the same. Because there would be no point at all in having the same word written twice. Hashem would do that. So every word has to have some difference between them. So now, the Vilna Gaon has a question. Befrat in this pasuk, what's the difference between the word melech and moshel? Melech is a king, moshel is a ruler. That's English words. That doesn't mean anything. And we have to know Lashon Kodesh, what's the difference? So the Vilna Gaon famously says that the word melech applies when the people vote him in. A melech is a melech on an am. Ein melech below am. There's no such thing as a melech without an am. What does that mean without an am? It doesn't mean there is no constituents. What it means is that in order to be a melech, he needs a nation. A nation means that they voted him in. A moishel, which again in English makes a little sense, is
a dictator.
A moishel is a ruler. So in English it makes sense, a ruler. So what the brothers are telling him this, your dream makes no sense. If you think, HaMelech Timlech Aleinu, you think we're going to anoint you as the king? That can't happen. So the same way that can't happen, we know your dreams aren't good, therefore Moshel Timshel Banu also won't happen. The same way we're not going to vote you in, we're not going to have you rule over us either, because your dream's already bottled. But the double phrase of Molech Timlech and Moshel Timshel again means that there's a malchus of given authority by the people, and there's Moshel not. And the Vilna Gaon has many rise to it. The most easy pasuk to understand, we say in Tehillim, Ki Lashem Amlucha U'moshel Bagoyim. What does that mean? Because Hashem Amlucha means we're gay to the Yidden. Right. You understand? The Yidden accept the Kodesh Baruch Hu's sovereignty. Right. We have Melech Malchem Lachem on Rosh Hashanah. But U'moshel Bagoyim. He's only a Moshel Bagoyim because on the Goyim he has to force himself upon them. They're not Mekabalim. They have other things. Right. What will be when Mashiach comes? Hashem Le Melech HaKol Aretz. It's all part of the Vilna Gaon. Nothing happening here. That Melech HaKol Aretz means why? Because when Mashiach's going to come, everyone's going to see that Kodesh Baruch Hu's Melech. He's not going to have to be a Moshel. We say in Davening, he says also, Umalchusay Beratzen. What's the rest of that? By Meir, we say the Lashon, right? Umalchusay Beratzen. What is
Malchusay?
Beratzen. Kibbol Aleim. Malchusay means the Lashon of Malchus, the Lashon of Kingdom, which we're saying means Malchusay Bakal Mashallah. In order to have a Malchusay means. When you start looking around, and there's a Vilna Gaon. When you start looking around, this Vilna Gaon is unbelievable. We just quoted a bunch of
psukkim.
That's how we tied it in today. So now the problem is going to be that there are some serious questions on the Vilna Gaon over there. Now, by the way, just to get back, we haven't finished yet. What happened by Yosef? So the Briska Rav says unbelievable that the Jews, the Bnei Yisrael, bow down to Yosef twice. First, when they showed up and they didn't yet know who he was, and Membez wrote it down. Membez Bav 42:6. It says, "Yosef who are shalat al aretz." Yosef wasn't the malchus. Yosef was a shalat al aretz. Who are mashpil achol? He gave everyone. Vayavoyu ache Yosef. The brother showed up. Vayishtachlu apayim arza. They bow down. But at this point, they bow down. They bow down on their own, but they weren't bowing down on their own willingness. They're bowing down because he's the mashper, he's the one providing everything. So in that moment, in a way, they were laughing at him, he was Moshe. But later on, at the end, in Perek Nun, Mamish, at the end of Chumash Bereishis, after Yaakov dies, and now they're getting a little concerned, what's going to be, if you remember the story, they started feeling a little distant from their brother, they were getting nervous and panicky. The brothers went and they bowed down to Yosef. But at that point, they did it as an acceptance of his authority. So again, the Vilna Gaon says, very simple in this week's parasha, you could probably spend a lot of time on this. Relevant to this week's parasha, relevant to the word melech, relevant to the word moshel. But we're going to go through a couple of questions on the Vilna Gaon. The first one is, what we say every morning in Shacharis. Adonai Elam Asher Malach B'Terem Kol. So how do you say there's such a thing? We say there's an Ein Melech B'Loyam. There's no such thing as a person being a king without a nation. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a king before existed a concept of a nation, before existed a concept of a world.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one of the kashas. Now it happened to be in Adonai Elam right after it says B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivrah. Right? So it means at that point he didn't have it, but it could be he was meaning, I don't know how to answer it, but my one answer would say that in hindsight it worked that way. That when the heart, that once he created the world, in hindsight he was a melech beforehand, but that's not for now. The point is that's the first kasha people ask. Second kasha, there are a few. Second kasha, you have to decide how serious you take this question on the word melech only being by chosen. And we can have a lot of jokes about this. I already see Ron smirking. What about chosen doyma lamelech? What does a chosen doyma lamelech mean? It means a groom is doyma lamelech, not only on his wife, who maybe at that point in time accepts his authority for the first 14 hours, or 14 minutes.
It takes 14 hours.
14 minutes.
Maybe 14 seconds.
But even so, but the Chosn Dayim Lamelech is not going on the wife only. The Chosn Dayim Lamelech is going on everybody else also. So does that mean we have a thing when it comes to everybody else accepts the authority of a Chosn? Again, you can start playing games, and it could be Shev Rach's Torah, but no, the second, again, there's many, but the first two questions. Now comes the third. A third question is, famous Gemara, we'll probably get back to it a few more times. The Gemara in Gittin talks about Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo the king. And the Gemara has a fascinating story, maybe we'll get into it one day, of how he tried to trap a demon called Ashmedai. And within the trapping, the first story of, what's that, you know, when they switched the body snatchers, body switches, and Ashmedai became looking like Shlomo HaMelech. He impersonated him, and they believed him. And he kicked that, he tricked Shlomo HaMelech, and he kicked him away. And it says that, and there's a question of Shlomo ever became a king again. Gemara debates that Shlomo lost his malchus when he got kicked away, and the Gemara debates if he got it back. But the Gemara talks about the possibility of him getting it back, and the story goes that Shlomo Melech was very far away, and it says, but first, from a pasuk, Shlomo was the melech on the whole world, then he was the melech on Yerushalayim, and then he was the melech on a stick. So the question is there such a phraseology as being a melech on a stick? Now that's a Gemara phrase. He was a melech on the stick. Could the stick accept authority? What does that even mean? How can you be a melech on a stick? How does the words work? And just in case, we have the famous Chaim Shalevitz. The famous Chaim Shalevitz says, that why is it even telling us he was a melech on a stick? So one of the answers is, because even when things were down, even when things were depressing, he still walked around with a galus. I'm the king. And that's when the rabbis met him, they said, maybe the guy's a meshuggah. Everyone thinks they're a king. Everyone thinks they're a mashiach. You should put them in their homes, right? Why over here was there a consideration that he might be the king that they started to investigate? Which you read the Gemara, they investigated and they found out he might be that Ashmedai was impersonating? Because when he was walking around with the stults, they realized that there must be something to this guy. Because even in all the craziness and all the bitterness, the guy had the top of the world. He lost everything. He should be depressed. He was Malach al-Makli. He still remained as a king on some level, which is part of what we discussed in the 3-minute audio that I get harassed about to send that every week. We won't mention a name because he's already rolling his eyes. But I sent out the 3-minute audio about what? That Yosef, what was the point? Just in case nobody listened, what was the point of Yosef meeting the smelling, the perfumes, before he was sent out? Who cares? Like I said, my phrase, not my own phrase. There's a guy going to Auschwitz or Majdanek or Treblinka care if there's a lemon scented to Mr. Clean beforehand? So one of the answers, there's many, many answers. Maybe we'll discuss with Charles Schultz about 10 different answers. But one of the answers is that it wasn't necessarily, what it was a roadmap. It was Hashem telling Yosef, how does it still smell nice in the thing? Because a positive smell should get ruined within a bad smell. Didn't happen. He was saying, remain above the fray. That's how you survive. The roadmap of Jews is that we have to remember we're B'nai Malachim, we're B'nai Malachim. We have certain halachas that work that way, in Hilchos Shabbos even. We have to realize at all times we are kings. We are the kings. We have to act this way. Can't sully ourselves and lower ourselves. We have to act above it. And that's the roadmap to be successful. But that was the roadmap, in a way, learned from Shlomo HaMelech. That Shlomo HaMelech, when things were depressed, that he fell for one of the oldest tricks in the book. Let me out for a second. Give me the key and let me out. I mean, embarrassing almost, but he still remains as a king. But now we get to why it's related to now. Because, as we'll ask the question, the first pasuk in Esther, I think that's what we're up to, right? The first pasuk in Esther says like this, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh, the days of Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh, which Achashverosh? Hamoylech mehoidu Akush. Ruled over Hoidu Akush, 27 Medinas. And we didn't do any Rashi yet. We think we're doing every Rashi. We haven't done it yet. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Hamoylech? What does the word Hamoylech mean? He ruled over, he was king over Hoidu Akush. Rashi says from the Gemara, we'll see in a second, Shemolach me'atzmoi. He usurped the throne by himself. V'loy hoyim yizera hamalucha. And he wasn't from the Zera Malucha.
How can you be a melech?
That's the kasha. So let's read the Gemara inside. Correct. And we'll see everything we said a few times already in this class. On Thursday nights, we point out the names. We'll see the name in a second. Hamoylech, Omarav. Remember who says this? Rav says, Shemolach me'atzmai. The Achashverosh ruled over his own accord. He did not inherit the throne by royal descent. What does that mean now? Amrulei. Some say Lishvach, this is in praise of Achashverosh. For Amrulei Lignai, some say it's in the disparagement of Achashverosh. The fact that his Melech Batsim was a good or bad. Explain. Some say this is a praise of Achashverosh, for it implies that no one else was as suited for the throne as he was. 59. Since he was not a member of the royal family, Achashverosh must have been appointed on the basis of merit alone. So right now, if you stop here, we answer the question maybe. Hamoylech ma'atzmai doesn't mean how you read the word in Rashi, that he grabbed the kingship by himself. No! The Gemara is saying, Hamoylech ma'atzmai, if you read the first half of the Gemara, the first half of the Gemara is saying it's a derech shvach, that no one else was worthy of it, to quote the art scroll. He was not a member of the royal family, so he wasn't necessarily the right bloodline, but he must have been appointed on the basis of merits alone. L'shvach. Which meant, answers a thing, it would make sense then, that the word Amaylech Ma'atzmai doesn't mean he grabbed it. Amaylech Ma'atzmai means he was appointed by the people, because again, like the Vilna Gaon says, the word Melech and Malchus always means by the people appoint you. We have to finish the Gemara though. The Gemara finishes the paragraph. For Amaylech Naif, some people say, no. When it says Amaylech Ma'atzmai, it's a negative thing. It's a disparaging thing. It's not a positive thing. Why? The Lo Yavachaz L'Malchus. He wasn't worthy of it. How did he get it? But he bought it off. He's not the first person. He bought off the kingship. So one Gemara says it's negative that he bought off the kingship. He wasn't worthy of it. And one says he was positive. If I would have to guess, if you buy off the kingship, you pay enough money, are you voted in or not? Yes. I would say so. So you voted in, which means the Gemara is answering the question we have. We have a question from a Gemara. The Gemara says, Hamoylech ma'atzmai, which would be implied that he grabbed it by himself. We said that's the stira, contradiction of the words. You can't be moilech and be ma'atzmai. That's a real question. Doesn't work. So now we're pointing out, possibly, I think logically, when you read the Gemara has an argument of what does it mean, moilech ma'atzmai. Good or bad. Good meaning, everyone, there was no one else around, but he was the most worthy. Bad meaning, no one else around, but he paid for it. But either way, in my humble opinion, he was still in the end voted in. Voted him because they held he was the best guy for the job, or voted him because he bribed me and was worth it. But either way, he's voted him, which means the words Amaylech Ma'atzmai is a good thing, as far as the Vilna Gaon can go. The Vilna Gaon is the easy answer. Amaylech Ma'atzmai doesn't mean what the words say. But that's what Rashi said. Rashi said, now, we said a second ago that he was not from the royal family. So if you're reading the words Amaylech Ma'atzmai, it means he was not from the royal family. Now, we almost did every Rashi in the first pasuk, but it's, you know, being rushed through them. It's a big problem. So there's our first Rashi, literally the first Rashi on Esther. V'hib me'achashveres, melech paras ha'aya, he's a Persian king. Shemalach tachas kairish, l'soif shivim shana shagals babel. He was a king. Now, they point out, the Kadmainim point out, that there's a medrash that says that Achashveres was a king. He was from a bloodline. He wasn't from the bloodline necessarily of this bloodline that had to be between Paras and Madai. But he had legitimate blood that he could have been a king. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says like this. The Gemara says on the next page. We were on page 11a in Megillah. Now we turn to 12a in Megillah. It says like this. It says the phrase, Chel, in Megillah's Esther, we're still here. Paras umaday apartamim. The army of Persia and Media, the nobles. There's an Esther 1:3. Eventually we'll get there. Paras umaday apartamim. But also it says in Esther, in 15, which is 10 chapters from now, V'ksiv l'malche madai oparas. So in the beginning of the story, in 2 psukim from now, when we discuss the nobleman and everything going on, the Tosek says, Chel paras umadai, which means paras came before madai. And later on, V'ksiv l'malche madai oparas.
Which changed.
So right away, the Gemara asks the kasha. What's going on here? How do we go paras first, madai for what's going on here? So the Gemara explains the discrepancy, reading the words of Oscar. Omar Rava, Rava says, for was Rav. Rava says, Esnuye Asnabadadi. The Persian and Median people stipulated with one another. E minon malki, minaychu eparche. If the king of this place comes from us, the governors will come from you. And reverse, if the kings come from you, the governors will come from us. Thus, the two verses reflect this arrangement. At times, Medi sat on the throne, Persians served as provincial governors, while at other times the situation was reversed. Literally, like almost like the American government. We have different houses to keep everything in a checks and balance system. So we always made a checks and balance system. So they want, the Chassam Sofer wants to say. Unbelievable. We started, let's go through again. A little Chazar once in a while is good. We started out by saying, for those who came late sitting in the back, that we had a difference of Melech and Moshel. For this week's Parsha. Melech means that the people chose you. Moshel means they did not choose you. We said right away, Bakasha, we have a question, because it says Malach Ma'atzmai. Achashverosh Malach Ma'atzmai, which means he took it by himself. That's a contradiction. So we said, wait, no. There's an argument in the Gemara. What does it mean, Malach Ma'atzmai? Either it means he was worthy or he's unworthy. But either way, he was voted in. Learning it's an argument whether he was worthy or not. The Chassam Sofer says, when you read the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph, they're not disagreeing with each other. This is how he wants to understand. Again, one person says Malach Ma'atzmai is a Mila, means there was no one else worthy of being the king. And one says he was unworthy, but he bought himself in. So Chassam Sofer says, no, it goes with this Gemara later on. The Gemara later on says that the Persians and Medians had a deal with each other. You take the house, I take the Senate. You take the Senate, I take the house. We play the games. It's an equal distribution of the things. So what happened was, Achashverosh, his father, was the king from side A. After he dies, what's supposed to happen? King from side B, because we always rotate. But they realized at the time, maybe there wasn't anybody from side B worthy enough. We weren't sure. And Achashverosh said, you know what? We'll switch it up. I'll bribe and get myself in there. Sometimes you go even, odd. Sometimes you could switch around everything same. Even, odd, even. You can switch around. So what Achashverosh did was, he said, I'll take the second one in a row. I'll pay off for it. And I'll grab it and we'll start the process going the other way now. No one's losing long term. We'll just take an extra thing. And what does he gain by this? That means really he came from king blood. But Malach Ma'atzmai had to still bribe himself in there. But it means in theory, when Rashi says he was a Malach, and it sounds like he wasn't worthy of it, no, it's all true. He had blood, a bloodline from the kingship, but he didn't have the bloodline for right now. Right now he can't do it. He was supposed to be second in command because the original king was his father. They didn't go from father to son, father to son, father to son. They rotated. Father, then we switched to the other team. Then we come back to the team. So it could be he would have got someone else and he would have been over after that.
Who did he bribe?
So who did he bribe? So to answer that question, excellent. Some want to say, unbelievable. We have another Gemara. All these Gemaras go together, by the way. Right after the Gemara of Omar Rav, we started right here. There's another answer, but it's going to answer your question. We have a Gemara that says, Amar Rav, Shemalach Ma'atzmai. The next Gemara, Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, is a Gemara we discussed in this class on Thursday nights already, says, because the Gemara is going through the Pesukim in Esther. Hu Achashverosh, Hamoylech, what's the next words? So the Gemara says, Hamoylech means, Moylech Ma'atzmai. What does Hoydu V'Kush mean? Machloi, because we did it last week. Is Hoydu V'Kush, Charam Ahoydu B'Soifarlem V'Kush B'Soifarlem, Charam Ahoydu V'Kush, Pa'adi Adodi. Either they're very far, or they're very near. And last week we discussed it. So someone to say the answer around us was a question like this. If you want to know if he's capable of bribing, it depends on where the cities were. If the cities were right near each other, okay, so you got two cities right near each other, you can bribe it. It makes sense to do such a thing. But if you hold it far away, the amount of money you need is too much. So they want to say like this. The first Gemara says, Amar Rav, Shemalach Ma'atzmai. What does the next Gemara say? Behoidu ba'kush. It's from Hoidu to Kush. Rav Shmuel of an argument. Who says what? Gemara doesn't say. Gemara says, Chad Omar. One says, Hoidu b'soifalim b'kush b'soifalim. Ve'chad Omar. When you read in the Gemara, it's openly unclear who said what. As a side, Rav Ruben Margolis, first class Hall of Fame of genius, didn't die so long ago. He wrote a sefer about putting the charamas and figuring out who they are. In his vast encyclopedic knowledge, he would always do it. But here, there are rabbis who want to say it's very simple. You don't need any knowledge. Just read the words back to back. Rav is the one. You need a Rambam's head to come up with this. The first Gemara says, what? Ha-moylech ha-marav, sh'moylech ha-atzmai. Ha-moylech ha-atzmai, that's Rav. Right away, Rambam says, wait a second, he's bribing his way in there? How much money is that? Who's he bribing? Oh yeah, look at the next Gemara. Next Gemara says, either they're close or far. I don't know who says what. I'll tell you who says what. The one who says that he was capable of bribing, that's Rav, must assume that the two sitters were right near each other. He's capable of bribing. So the next Gemara that says Charama Charamar gave us a brekala, a little crumb right beforehand that was capable of telling us, by the way, don't get lost. Pay attention. You just read the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rav says, no, the Rav's the next person. Let's figure it out. So if you go with Aronowitz's question, it all makes sense. So again, you with me? We have the Gemara saying, Hamalach Ma'atzmai. That's what we're discussing right now. And we're discussing if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We're discussing if he needs the people or not. Because the word Malchus needs people. Even though soon we'll be davening Ma'ariv and we'll say the other phrase. What was the phrase again? Forgot. What was the phrase we said before? Malchus Baratzen Kibbul Aleihem. Kibbul Baratzen. Which means, we explain now the Gemara of Malach Aleihem, Malach Ma'atzmai. So far we have different explanations. The first explanation is, Malach Ma'atzmai is good or bad. An argument. We're saying Thursday night class, even though there's an argument, he was voted in both according to both arguments. Second explanation of that Gemara is saying, it's not an argument, they're agreeing with each other. Sam Seifer, they agree with each other. There was a system set up where you rotate. He was supposed to be out and not be worthy, but he bribed his way back in. And the third way is not answering the argument as much as connecting it to the next Gemara, the Aronowitz message, method. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean that he was able to become the king? Depends how close it was, how much he was able to bribe. Another explanation to what it means, Amaylach Ma'atzmai. And the Gemara has two different opinions. We assume it's two different opinions, not the Chacham Sofer. Two different opinions. Either it says, L'shvach, we praise him. That the article says there was not a member of the royal family that was worth it. So therefore the people appointed Achashverosh, positive. Or negative, it's a disparagement, but he paid an excessive sum of money to ascend the power. We again turn to Yud Beis Zman Aleph. You have to know the whole Shasta, not anything. The Gemara before in Yud Beis Zman Aleph we quoted was the other Gemara about the deal. But a few lines later, it has another Gemara. The Gemara says like this, Mamish after that Gemara. Verse 20, Esther 1:5, coming up soon. It says, that Achashverosh made a king. It says Achashverosh. The king made a party. Great to small. Mishta Shivas Yom. A party for 7 days. Only after Achashverosh, I'm reading off scroll, entertained his subjects living in distant lands, did he invite the inhabitants of the capital. Because it says over here, Asa HaMelech HaCholam Anim Tzoyim B'Shushan. The party starts on verse 2 or verse 3, talking about the 180-day party. Now it's saying about a party done in Shushan. So everyone else got first, and then he said, okay, now let's bring him in. What's the point? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Open Gemara. Rav Shmuel. Doesn't say who says what. We're going to figure it out. We're going to use our heads. Charama 1 says, we don't know who it is yet. This indicates Achashverosh was a very clever king. V'charama, melech tipeshu. This shows he was a foolish king. Let's explain. Manda melech pikechaya. Achashverosh was a clever king. Shaper Ovid. It's a very smart idea. First invite the outsiders to the feast, for he could appease the people of his own city anytime he wished. They're always nearby. Keep your enemies close. Take the distant people, bring them close. The people next door to you will always be able to figure out. You'll always make, always send them a bottle of wine. But the people far away, bring them in. He's a pekeach. That sounds like a good strategy. What does the other rabbi, nameless, either Rav Shmuel, say he was a tipish? He should have invited the people of his own city first. So if these people rebel against him, the people local are going to protect him. You want the local guard. Here goes, I'm reading Oscar. The dispute between Rav and Shmuel cannot be appreciated without certain background information by the Targum. Was he smart or stupid by inviting outsiders far away until close? Targum queries why Achashverosh made this banquet in the first place and cites an opinion that the provincial governors had only recently rebelled against the crown. having subdued their revolt militarily, Ahasuerus now sought to placate his wayward functionaries by entertaining them lavishly. Hope you know none of you guys speak this English. Thus, one Amari regarded Ahasuerus' decision to invite the rebellious outlanders to the first banquet as astute, since these people required immediate attention. Further, should the Shushanims themselves begin to show signs of revolutionary fever, he was positioned to take quick action. They're right next door to him. The other Amari maintained that Ahasuerus should have first consolidated the support of the local population, his natural power base. So if the provincials decide to renew the vote, he'll have local people protecting. Either way, we have a Gemara right now saying, relevant to this party, of the party of far away, to the party of the local, was it a smart or stupid move? But we know, something we've said in the past, that there is a great debate if Ahasuerus was an intelligent, shrewd leader overall, is one proof, or was he just a fool who got lucky? One says one way, one says the other way. What are the names? Don't know. It's Rav and Shmuel. Who says what? Let's go back to the Gemara here. Omar Rav. Rav says, Shemalach ma'atzmai. He ruled over himself. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? Argument. Some say l'shvach, some say l'gnai. The people who say l'shvach said there was no one worthy of it. There was no one worthy of it. They chose him. So if Rav said that, would he be considered later on an intelligent, shrewd, what was the word they used? Intelligent, I forgot the other word right now. Intelligent, shrewd person or not? The answer would be yes, right? Clever. Clever. On the other hand, if you say disparagingly he had to bribe his way in there, that means overall he's a fool. That's what they want to say. Hold on. That's what they want to say. They want to say that the argument later on is if he's smart or stupid is dependent on how do you read Rav earlier, was he smart or stupid? But David's asking, wait a second. It takes brain to bribe people. That itself is a way of brains. So, yes. So now we have to know. Excellent. Excellent. It takes brains to do. Now, one of the questions asked at the Seder every year is that we have four sons. The first two are Chacham and Rasha. Are they opposites? No. Tzaddik v'Rasha, Chacham and Tippish.
Right.
That's what it should be. It doesn't do that. Pesach time, maybe we'll discuss that. But what's the difference now between a Chacham and a Tzaddik is very clear. A Tzaddik is righteous and a Chacham is smart. What about Chacham and Pikeach? Possible to say. Chacham means a person who is naturally smart. Pikeach, I'm going to say for this thing only because of what David's asking, what we call an emotional intelligence. That means he's not really a smart person, but he's sensing things. Like some of our leaders now. Streetwise. Now, I don't believe our leader right now has any brain cells. But he does have a chush. I don't know the word of chush in English. A feeling. Picks up on something. Emotional. I don't know if it's emotional intelligence is the right word, but it's in that direction.
What emotional intelligence does he have?
Yeah, it's something he senses. He knows, he throws certain things out, he sees what sticks, he gets a feeling for it. But we're not talking about politics here. But the idea is this. We have potentially someone to say, David's not so for it, and it makes sense, that Rav said that he's a melech me'atzmoy, which might have been good or bad. And we have a Gemara later on saying that it depends if he's a wise person or not. And someone to tie in the good and bad, if he's wise or not. David's saying might not be so good, because either way he should be wise. Whether he was wise and they chose him, or whether, now, you can go reverse. You can go reverse. I hope I'm not going too fast. We can go reverse, and we could say like this. When the people chose him, it could be the story we read as kids. The emperor has no clothes. That means you can go the other way. That means either he bribed people, he's very smart. I'm adding this in right now on the spot. Either he bribes people, he's very smart. Or the people chose him because they were the fools, but not that he's smart either. They're looking at the guy with no clothes and not realizing they think he's wearing the fancy outfit. So it could be, instead of saying, the first one we said is this, the people who chose him because they realized how smart he was, or he had to bribe him because he was stupid. David saying, no, bribery is smart. Okay, the people chose him as stupid. Right? Because...
King was foolish.
Yeah, but the people looking at him, and yes. But no, everyone thought so.
No,
The one little girl, no? Isn't the story the one little girl said he's not wearing clothing, everyone else believed it?
Yeah.
Israel's on my side, Bob's on my side, yeah. Yeah, everyone was on. Everyone was looking at him because everyone was blind about a thing. The girl, but everyone else didn't realize.
Everybody thinks the press, and everyone thinks the king was wearing simple clothing, so they convinced themselves that maybe I don't see right. Yeah, it really yeah, must yeah. be beautiful.
Right.
Everyone says that it must be true.
Anyway, yes, we're going to stop here because we got to do Myrav.